Song for you, first verse.
Well, I love to sing and pray, rejoicing every day. I love the blessings when the showers on us fall. I love the fellowship within the narrow way. I love Jesus best of all. Soul from sin. He gives me peace and joy within.
And makes me clean.
I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. I'd love to testify of all He's done for me. I love to see the lost uplifted from the fall. I love to see them turn from all iniquity. I love Jesus best of all.
For He saved
my soul from sin. He gives me peace and joy within.
And makes me clean.
I've been buried in His name, and
best of all.
Well, I love to see the signs that follow saints of God. I love to hear the joy bells ringing in my soul. I love to know He leads me by His staff and rod.
But
I love Jesus best of all.
For He saved
my soul.
For He saves
my soul from sin.
Praise the Lord, yes.
He gives me peace and joy within.
And makes me clean.
of him I'm not ashamed. Oh, I love Jesus best of all.
Yes, amen. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, the singers did their part. I hope I can do mine. Amen. But they kicked it off real good. I thank the Lord. I love what we do here in this church. We kind of mix some of the old and some of the new, and we take the best of it all.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. I appreciate the Lord. As we're standing, I want us to read the focus verse we have today. Everybody's familiar with it, with the Apostles' Doctrine today. Amen. And we are of the Apostles' Doctrine.
Yes,
the
amen.
Apostolic
That's right.
Church.
Amen.
And you say, well, we've heard this so many times, but you haven't heard it from me. I won't do it, take away from it, but I might have a little something to add to it. Maybe somebody else has it.
All right.
But let's read our first focus verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized.
Right.
Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive
Hallelujah.
The gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
Can't get much plainer than that, can it? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have allowed us to have, Lord, and all the things that you've given us in thy word. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, help us to take on all of thy word, Lord, and leave out nothing. Lord, and help us to do it all in your lovely name. Everything we do in word or deed, we do in the name of Jesus Christ today. Lord, we glorify you. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to read something here that everybody likes science. Science, they're always right. Well, science, they have some right, but they go about finding out the meaning of the human existence. They just go in it the wrong way, because if you want to find out the real meaning of human existence, you go into the Word of God and you find all of your answers that you need. But here's something, that exploration of the purpose of human existence. Anything humans claim to exist but do not manifest themselves in any way, form, or shape do not exist by axiomatic definition. That means self-evident or unquestionable definition. Anything that human beings claim to exist must show objective evidence. Everybody say evidence. To human beings that exist, otherwise it's meaningless to say that it exists. You know, we're that kind of people. That's the way the people, that's the way a human is. We live by evidence. Amen. I'm from Missouri, and they say you have to show me. You have to give me the evidence. When you say something to me, well, you show me. And we're just that way. We're just made that way. And you, in this evidence, if you're driving down the road and a policeman pulls you over, he wants you to present him evidence, amen, that you have the authority, that you've been authorized to drive a vehicle. He wants evidence. If he comes up and he says, do you have driver's license? You say, yes, I do. And he says, well, give me the evidence. Let me see your driver's license. If you continue to say, well, I have them, but you never show the evidence, well, pretty soon you're going to be hauled off somewhere. Evidence has always been a way of life. You go into the doctor's office. He says he's a doctor, and he got the evidence right on the wall for everybody to see. Because when you go to a doctor, you want to know, amen, that he's a qualified doctor. You want to know that he qualifies himself with the evidence that he has upon the wall. That's all you have, and his word. But that's what you take. You go in the dentist's office, it's the same thing. He has the evidence on his wall. Amen. And guess what? When you come to God, now God knows humankind. He knows a man. He knows that we are someone that wants evidence of things, or else we're not going to believe them. Even the science says that. They said they want to show objective evidence to human beings that it exists. Otherwise, it's meaningless to say it exists. Now, God knows all that. And amen, we walk into the office of the dentist and the doctors or wherever. We accept that as their evidence. We don't question it. But when God gives evidence, everybody gets in an uproar. Well, I don't like it like that. Well, he's God. He can put down any evidence that he wants to. Amen. To the world, you know that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Amen. But to them that are saved, it's the power of God. Now, if God tells me that I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and everywhere we see in the Bible the evidence of speaking in tongues, well, I'm going to at least give him the credit I give that physician. I'm going to at least give him that much. If he says, this is your evidence, then I'm going to say, God is a lot more than that doctor is. If I'm going to accept his evidence on that wall that he's a doctor and I'm going to put my health in his hands, I can at least accept God's evidence. Amen. Back in the Old Testament day, amen, the day of, there was 50 days after the Passover, amen, Moses gave a law on Mount Sinai. That was a covenant of the Old Testament. Amen. And what God said went. Amen. Then they began to go into the law, and they began to work the works of the law. Amen. And then it came the Day of Atonement. And Aaron, God told him, said he was the only one to go into the holy place. One time a year, that's it. Christ is smitten but one time. We don't smite him again. One time, it's a type and it's a shadow of things to come. But before Aaron was to go into that, he was to wash himself. A type of baptism. Now, if he went in without washing, he died. He was to wash himself and put on holy clothes. Amen. Then he could go into the holiest of holies, and he could offer up the sacrifice that God had commanded. Amen. They had two goats on the Day of Atonement. One would be sacrificed, and they lay hands on another and send it off into the wilderness. Now, these things had to be done exactly right, because that was a good way God said it was to be done. Now, some people say, well, I want proof. You got your proof. If we got our evidence speaking in tongues. We got things that the Bible says. We'll take something wrote about George Washington. We won't question that. That's history. Well, this is just history further back. That's all it is, history further back, and it tells us about God. It tells us how to be saved. But he had to wash himself, Aaron did, and he had to put on holy garment before he could go into the holy place. Amen. We repent, we're baptized, and we take on Jesus Christ. He said, be ye holy even as I am holy. We take on that holy garment in Christ Jesus. Amen. But we take these things, as we know, are facts because God said it. Now, this evidence that God gives us in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says the things that's in this book is infallible. It was infallible proof. But I could walk into the doctor's office and I could see his credentials and I said, you know what, I just don't believe that. So I'm going to go back out of here. Walk into another doctor's office, well, he got the same thing. And he said, I just don't believe that. So he walks out of there. Pretty soon he dies of his whatever's ailing him. He get no help for it. But I believe in the Word of God, and I believe everything that it says. Amen. Some of it I have a little problem dealing with, but it's still God's Word. Amen. I have the flesh to deal with, and God knows that I couldn't make it in my flesh. That's the reason that Jesus Christ came. Could I have been perfect? Jesus Christ never would have had to come. And I'm still imperfect. But I strive, Paul said, I strive daily. I have not yet obtained, but this is one thing I do. I strive toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now that's our walk after we come into the truth. But anyway, Acts 1, beginning with verse 1 through 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he has chosen, whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. It's certain. It's a certainty. It's not nothing to be taken lightly. It's a certainty. Now, if we can believe that evidence on that wall is a certainty that that man's a doctor, we can believe what the Almighty God says. Now, I don't know how to be a doctor. I have no idea. Amen. But I take my confidence that this man does. Now, this man, Jesus Christ, amen, he came, and and these things were infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus qualified himself in the beginning because he was he not baptized by John? Well, he was going to be this supreme priest. He was going to be the high priest. And he said, he told John, now when he came to John, John forbade him. He said, I have need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, permit it to be so. He said, because we fulfill all righteousness. Now some people say, well, he did that for our example. No, sir, he did that to fulfill all righteousness. And that's why he did it. You can add to whatever you want to. But he did it because he had to. He said, what did he say? I didn't come to destroy the law, but I come to fulfill. So he said, we have to fulfill all righteousness. As a priest was baptized or washed himself before he went into the holy place, Christ has also baptized himself, amen, and before he could go in for our sacrifice, before he could offer up himself. Amen. He had to do that. And the Bible is, the Old Testament is nothing but pointing toward the new. Amen. If you don't take on the New Testament, well, you have no part of the new covenant. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, it was a feast of harvest. Amen. But it also was a day that they honored God for the law that was given upon Mount Sinai. That was the old covenant. And guess what? Now comes the new covenant on the same day. Amen. So God has made a way. He has prepared a way. And how shall a man escape if he neglects so great a salvation? Now, people will find that what God has put down here, he's laid it out for us, but they want something different. That because, now listen, if they're not getting into the Word of God and finding out what God says and how he wants us to go about it, well, they're going by their own understanding. And that's how they get so far away from God. Now, in the book of Amos, God said that he sent a famine of the Word. Amen. You find in the talents where the one had more and others had less. Well, he took from the one that had the less and gave it to the one that had the more. Now, that's what's happening today. We don't have a famine of singing gospel songs. We don't have a famine of having entertainment and that sort of thing in the churches. But what we have is a famine of the Word. Now, when you begin to take away from the Word of God and begin to go on your own understanding what you do, then God takes from you and gives to the ones that are in the Word of God. Now, that's reading I like the Apostolic Church. We take the Word of God as it says. We make no changes. Amen. He said, repent. We repent. He said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We do that. Then he said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Now, when it came in on the day of Pentecost, it came in as a roaring mighty wind and cloven tongue set upon them. Now, we know that was a one-time event because it never did take place in the Bible after that. Amen. But filled with the Holy Ghost and tongues kept right on going. Now, if they want to tell me that, well, they don't come like that in a mighty rushing wind and the clouds of tongues, well, this is God's demonstration that he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. All flesh. And all flesh, meaning that no longer was it just the Jew, but it was the Gentile. It was all everybody. Everybody was going to have a part in it. And I thank God for that, because had it been for the Jews only, then we would have been in bad shape because we're not a Jew. But God, made it plain. Now, he gave all of these promises. And then in verse 39, he said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." Now, he gave that right after he gave all these promises in Acts 2 and 38 and so on. And the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just for them. Now, there was a sign that the Holy Ghost had been, that God was pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. He came in like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire, as of fire, set upon them. Now, that was God's sign that what He had promised in Joel had come to pass. And He gave that sign. And we cannot go any other way except the way that God sent it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now today we have this church, that church, and whatever else. But what is the kind of church that God is going to be looking for? Is the church that is in one accord with His Word, that stays with His Word, stays with what He has said. Now, when I came into the church, I came into as a Trinitarian. Amen. But thank God for some apostolic people that showed me a better way, a more perfect way. Amen. When I was showed that, but you can get what happens here with keep people from going any further. They get tied up in peer pressure my grandmother, my grandfather, all the way back has done this. It still don't make any difference. You still got to go by the Word of God. Well, I didn't have so much of that because my people wasn't in any kind of church. But I came in. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if they just went ahead a little bit further and said that name, it would have been all right. That Brother Peterman, he baptized that way. He said, "Now I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and in obedience to that command, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." So that was obedience to that command, was Jesus' name baptism. But on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, something else happened, a new covenant come in. And the curtains was rent. Amen, from the holiest of holies. Amen. No longer is that there. Now we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. And I thank God for that. But God had laid down something. Now, how important is it that we be baptized in Jesus' name? Everything. Everything. If Aaron couldn't walk into that holy place without washing himself and putting on holy garment, else he'd die. Now, and in the book of Amos, where it says God was going to send a famine of the word. Amen. Once you start taking away and adding to, God will take away what you have. Amen. And pretty soon all you have is entertainment, singing, fellowship. But what's more important than all that? And that is that we have the Word of God in truth and in spirit. As far as I'm concerned, I can go party somewhere else and have a whole lot more fun doing it. So it means everything that we stay in the truth of God. Jesus was baptized. It wasn't for our example. He fulfilled all righteousness. We repent, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost for what? To fulfill all righteousness. Same thing. It's the exact same thing. You fulfill all righteousness, amen, when you come to Him the way that God has made it to be. Now, Jesus, when He first came, amen, before He started out in what God has sent Him here to do, amen, he was tempted of Satan. He was tempted for 40 days. And was He tempted because He had to prove something? I don't think so. I think what He did, He proved that He could not fall. Now, I read a story once about a West Texas town that all they had going for them was the train, Santa Fe Railroad, run through that town. That's all they had going for it. Well, that train had to go over a river before it got to that town. They become a big flood one day, and it just washed out the bridge. Well, They thought they'd never get that bridge built, but they finally got that bridge built. And then what they did, they pulled out two engines, locomotives, out of, in the middle of that railroad truss, what we call it, truss or bridge, whichever one you want to call it, and they tied down the whistle. And the whole town came out to see what was happening, and somebody asked her, said, what are you doing? He said, oh, we're testing the bridge. He said, oh, are you going to, first going to break down? He said, no, we're going to prove that it can't break down. And that's what Jesus did. He proved to us that he couldn't fail. Not that he could have, but that he couldn't fail. He proved who he was. Amen, that he was our sacrifice. He had to be the best that God had. Amen, and he came and robed himself in flesh. God did. But he had to go through the trying. Now, God has his 40 days. It's always a sign of trying and testing. But it's always been 40 days. Well, man will just always say, well, prove to me why that was. He had to be 40 days. Well, because God said so. That's it. You don't have much more proof than that. Why did God pick tongues as evidence? Because he said so. And that's where it has to be. Well, Jesus, when he was tempted for 40 days. Amen. When he come back, after he was crucified, he come back through a trial and a test for 40 days to prove to the world that he could not fail and that he was our supreme sacrifice. There remaineth no more sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when Moses smote the rock, water came forth. The children of Israel complained they didn't have any water. And God told him to smite the rock. He smote the rock, and the water came forth. And then there come a time that there was another complaining about water, and Moses was aggravated with the people about this time, and if you read it, you can understand why. Well, the Bible told him to go speak to the rock. He didn't say anything about smiting the rock. But he went there, and he smote the rock, the Bible says, twice. Why? What was the problem there? The problem wasn't that he smote the rock twice. The problem was that he smote the rock at all. Because God says, speak to the rock. See, Jesus, that was a type of Christ, the rock was. And amen, it was smitten but one time. Christ is smitten but one time. After that, there remaineth no more sacrifice. His is to be smitten but one time. That's the reason some of the Jews, when they came into the truth, they would go back out. They would go back out and begin to sacrifice again. And that's the reason the Lord said it'd be impossible for them to renew themselves. They went back into the law. And now that's where you're going to stay. You're going to stay with the Jews. Amen. I know we didn't have the law to deal with, but we still have to be careful how we build upon the foundation that Christ has laid. And I know the world wants to believe that they can, after they receive God, they can live any way they want to. But the Bible speaks of going on into perfection. It speaks of growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I come to an altar of repentance, now for that reason, for salvation, I don't come there no more for it. Unless I did it wrong the first time, then I'm going to have to do my first works over. That's right. If you wasn't baptized right, you have to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible said so. And that's all we need. This is God. How are we to question him? Where were you when he formed all these things? When he did put all the firmament up there, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else, where were you? What he says goes. And there's no other way to look at it. But anyway, and suddenly there come a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as fire set upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And from that day on, that has always been the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I know it's not very dignified. And I think that's where the problem lies. It's not very dignified, but it's not very easy for Christ to suffer for 40 days with temptation. From Satan. The Bible says he was tempted of Satan. Was he tempted to do it himself? I don't think so, because you're drawn away by your own lust when you sin. So that doesn't mean you have to believe that. That's just the way I see it. But we have to go according to everything that God says. Now, 40 days, I'm going to show you the reason that it was 40 days, the reason that he had to be tried for 40 days, and then he had to be tested for 40 days. All in the Bible, and these are just a few of them. It rained 40 days in the days of Noah, 40 years in the desert was Moses. Moses at Mount Sinai, 40 days, 40 lashes maximum. Israelite spies out to the land 40 days. Israel served the Philistines 40 years before Samson delivered them. Goliath taunted Saul, army 40 days before David slew him. That's not all, but Jesus was tempted 40 days. Amen. 40 days of purification. Christ was presented at the temple. 40 days between resurrection and ascension. These are just the things. Now, some things that God wants his people to do. And the Bible says if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. The further we get away from God, amen, and I've seen that. When I came out of the Trinitarian Church into the truth, more truth that was in God's Word, I don't say I have it all, but I came into more truth. And you have to, the Bible says, walk in the light as the light is revealed to you. And when things are revealed to you, then you don't walk in them. Well, that's between you and God. You go ahead. But I'm going to try that things that I know to do. It didn't hurt me to get baptized in Jesus' name. It didn't hurt a thing. It was just as easy as it was the first time, except I had a better feeling about it. So just stay in the truth. Get baptized in Jesus' name. See what God has. The Bible says, try the spirits to see if they be of God. Amen. But I've seen in my family, I got baptized and to the church, and then it just kept on going. And just about everyone in my siblings, and they were I had nine brothers and three sisters. So that was a small church. But they all got baptized. Most all of them, except a couple, and my mother did, and my dad, I'm not ever really sure whether he did or not, because if he did, he probably wouldn't tell you. But that's all right, too. If you don't want nobody to know but you and God, that's okay. Amen. The thing of it is that you do it. But God would rather you do it in front of people as a witness to him. Amen. That you have saw this light that God has given. But there's testimonies in Matthew, I don't think I'm going to go there, Matthew 3, 14 and 15, it talks about all the things that are written in this book, and he said about Jesus Christ, he says if it's all written in there, all the books in the world couldn't take all of it. Now, we're given these things, a few, compared to all the things that Christ did. You know, Christ made such a big splash that the waves were still affecting us today. Now, something really, really had to happen then. And the Bible speaks of it, and we are to take his word as the truth, and then you say, well, I want to see God move. Well, take his word as the truth, and you probably will. But until you do that, he's given you this word. He's given us the word to go by, to live by, to be saved by, and he's given us evidence. You go through all the places that it was filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll find out that they spoke with tongues. And Acts 8, you'll find out it's a package deal. It's not a one thing. You can't repent without being baptized. You can't be baptized without receiving the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Acts 8, 14 through 17. God is good, and Acts 8, 14 through 17. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he has fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that those laying on the apostles' hands, Well, this is a difference, so we'll stop at verse 17. Then laid their hands upon them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had only been baptized in Jesus' name, I assume, repentance. Now, in Acts 19, now here he was baptized, but yet they had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, 2 and 6. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, where were you baptized? He said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came to them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now this was quite a ways after the day of Pentecost, and these things were still in play. And we've got to take on the whole deal, the whole package deal. They don't come with some say, well, I don't believe you have to be baptized. Why would you even go there? You know, a man asked me that. He mentioned that. He said, I don't believe you have to be baptized. I said, do you believe you have to repent? Oh, yeah. I said, why? He said, that's Bible. What can you do? I said, well, he said, then you'll have those that say, well, I'd rather believe what Jesus said than what Peter said. And you know, he needs a wake-up call too, because Matthew wrote it and Peter wrote it. You're still believing what man says. And that's how God works. God works through men. He tells us what to do and we carry it out to the best of our ability. I know that I've had my different times, and I think I said it last week, man has failed me, and I have failed man. Amen. But when you get yourself stabilized, we'll walk in stability. Amen. I never have blamed God for what man did, because I hope God isn't blaming me for what I did. Amen. So I try to give them the same thing that I want God to give me. And sometimes that's not always easy to do. Sometimes it's very hard to do. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, let's go there. Okay. Okay, here Paul, he says to Paul, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now we are responsible for planting some seed, but it's going to be God to give the increase. Now there's a seed planted in me when I repent, I'm baptized in Jesus' name, that's my responsibility. I have to yield the flesh to do that. And God's responsibility is giving the increase. Now, the increase is when he gives me the Holy Ghost. Now, I read you the nature of man, how that everything has to be evidence. You have to show them something. You have to prove them something. And God knew that. But listen, if you're not going to take the proof that God gives you, well, then that's between you and God. But that's what he's given. Jesus didn't say anything about, well, why should I be tempted for 40 days? How come four days ought to be enough? Couldn't do that because God said 40 days. That was the way God did things. And when Jesus come back and walked upon the earth after he had died, it was 40 days. And you can go through the Bible and everything. Man changes a few things here and there, but God gets them right back. It still didn't change God. Now, I have a free will. I can do whatever I want to do. You can decide, well, I just believe that this is a bunch of nonsense. You can say that too. But in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, said the preaching of the cross, foolishness to them that perish, but to us who are saved is the power of God. And the power of God comes, amen, when you obey His truth. Amen. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Amen. And God is love. Amen. His word is love. Amen. But the Bible says, not to just look upon God's kindness and His grace, but also look upon His severity. God destroyed the world by water one time. And He did that. If He hadn't have done that, that's a different message. But if He hadn't done that, it wouldn't be any reason for us to be sitting here. Amen. Because that was a plan of salvation that He was going to go into. So the thing for us to do, see what the Word of God says. Try the Spirit, see if they be of God. If He said, using baptism, which we use a lot, because it's truth. And if He said, go to you in all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then Peter turns around and baptizes all the way through the New Testament, baptizes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I would be looking at that one scripture instead of making all these other ones a lie. I would see what was he meaning. Well, Peter knew what he meant because the Bible says God gave them the gift of understanding scripture. And they had that gift. He didn't say he gave it to me. He said he gave it to them. So it's up to me to believe them. And that's what we do. We take on the whole Word of God. Amen. And I thank God that there was a time came that I did take on His whole Word. And I found out the truth in God the same way I found out how to teach this message. I read. That's it. You read, and God's people showing you. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate the truth that I found in Christ Jesus. I know that I can be nothing without Him, but I can be all things with Him. He says I can do all things through Christ Jesus that has strengthened me. Amen. I can be all things in Jesus. I can be all things. Now, you can't be all things in the world, but you can be all things in Christ Jesus. Amen. Many times, new converts, they can't help it. They're babes in Christ. They're looking for something for their flesh. Up to the church to try to convert them into looking for something in the Spirit. Amen. Let's begin to sing, and I guess this is the time that we pray or go about getting a drink of water or whatever you do. Amen. Turn it over to our pastor.
The mighty God is
okay.
Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray.
The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father. The King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom by whom all things were made. The fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. Our King and Priest to be, for in Him dwells all fullness, and Lord of all is He. Oh yes, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all. All in Him, the fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's
Praise the Lord.
Just choirs with awesome voices raised.